fan. Just in case you missed it, it's the top five sports talkers of the day. Now, it's time for Dan Barrero's Top 5 at 5, driven by Borton Volvo. Safety has never looked so good.
Dan out today, Guardsy in, 651 Carpet Studios. Mike Grimm's going to be in studio some point here in the 5 o'clock hour to review his harrowing journey back from Big Ten Football Media Days in Indianapolis. For a final time, at least for now, Ryan Donaldson has the top 5 at 5. To let people know a little bit what goes into the top 5 at 5, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It's usually 5, sometimes 3, maybe 4 stories of the day. Sports stories, news stories. And it's supposed to be of the entire day. And a lot of times, I mean, I would say of the fill-in shows I've done for Dan over the years, certainly over the last decade, Ryan's probably produced 65-70% of them, I would think. Not as many the last few years since he moved into the promotions director role.
I think that's a good number, though.
But Ryan's so organized and so responsible that he would text me at like 11 for the show that starts at 3. And he'd say, what do we got today? And I'd say, well, we've got Johnny Athletic at 3:55.
What time is Johnny?
We've got Lou Nanny here, Pat Kessler. I'm having Mike Trudell call in. And he'd write back, cool. I've already got top 5 done. And I would say, well, that's great, but it's 11. We don't really know what's happened yet in the day.
Yeah, good point.
We don't know. Like, I hope you didn't write it all in pen. I saw a few segments ago you were amending your top 5 at 5. You've already made some audibles as the day has gone on. But I always love that about you. You'd say, I've got top 5 done. I'd say, great, it's noon. I haven't had lunch yet. Kirk Cousins is talking at 2. We might want to respond to that. But most of the time, we got caught up. Most of the time, you would scribble something on your beautifully documented Microsoft Word document. And I can't wait to see what you came up with for your final top 5 at 5.
Well, I'm going to have to amend my final top 5 at 5 once again, just as you alluded to, JG, because I've got a very threatening text from one Kevin Fulness, who is a avid listener of the top 5 at 5.
There's no hockey to discuss.
And
there's
so,
no hockey to discuss.
Here's the quote. I might have to clean it up a little bit for radio, but quote from Kevin Fulness: I swear to God, if your final top 5 at 5 does not include a hockey mention, I will bleeping end you. So I had to do some digging.
You should save that.
It is Zach Parise's birthday today. Zach Parise and I also share a birthday. So Minnesota Wild former player Zach Parise turns 38 today. That's how I'm going to lead off my final top 5 at 5.
And I also saw that Russo caught up with Wild general manager Bill Guerin, and he has no update on Kirill Kaprizov.
Is that right?
So things are fine. It's all great.
My
he said the
goodness.
Same thing. I think it's going to be fine. I think we'll be good, but it's a delicate situation, and I don't want to talk about it.
I heard that we're flirting with the idea of doing a prisoner exchange for Brittany Griner. Are we going to have to dip into that bank as well when it comes to Kirill Kaprizov?
I don't know what they're going to have to do. I don't know how we're going to get him back in here, but we're going to try.
Goodness. All right, let's get to what I had scheduled for the top 5 at 5 today. Let's start with your Minnesota Twins. Edged last night, Chris Archer with an absolute stinker on the mound. 3 innings pitched, 6 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, 6 walks. Luis Arias, Correa, Buxton combined to go 0-for-13 at the plate. 6 of those outs were strikeouts. Twins off today after losing both games to Milwaukee over the last couple days. They'll head to San Diego to face the Padres, Sauce's new favorite team.
I was going to say, Meat Sauce's team. I can't believe he's not going.
The San Diego Dads, as he likes to call them. Joe Ryan versus Blake Snell tomorrow night. Twins, 52-46. Pods, 55-45. Our division lead down to 1.5 games over the Guardians.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm going to try to pull up the story here on the fly, because if Dan was in today, we would have done this, and I feel like we should do it in honor of Archer, who, as you mentioned, was the pitcher last night. To catch people up, that we haven't done it very often, but the Twins had a pitcher named Mike Pelfrey, who wasn't very good. Kind of, you know, your journeyman major league ball guy, right? He played for like 9 teams. Last check, he was a pitching coach at his alma mater, Wichita State. I think it was his alma mater. I don't know if he's still doing that. I don't think he is. But what Pelf lacked in ability, he made up for in accountability. No player has ever held themselves more accountable than Mike Pelfrey. You knew that you get these, you read the game story or you get the reports on the news or SportsCenter, whatever it is, and they'll say, so-and-so did not meet the media after the game. You know, he threw 3 picks didn't meet the media. They ducked it, ran out. Mike Pelfrey never did that. Even if he gave up three dongs in three innings and got shellacked by the White Sox, when the doors opened after the cooling off period, Mike Pelfrey was always at his locker, ready to take questions.
That was kind of frustrating.
So we did a Pelf scale on accountability. Chris Archer, I don't want to prejudice the case, but did you see what he said after the game last night?
I did not.
Trying to scroll down. Our internet's being a little weird here.
He didn't go full Pelf, did he?
Well, I'll let you be the judge.
Okay.
I think it's a slam dunk, but again, I don't want to prejudge the case. Second straight day, Brewers knocked out Minnesota starter early. Dylan Bundy a couple days ago, four innings, and Archer. Second time in the last three starts, he's issued a half dozen walks, something no other Twin starter has done even once in three seasons. I went on the Cake Show a couple of weeks ago and said, before the tailspin kind of started with the Twins, and said, the reason this is working right now is because nobody has gotten out of Chris Archer what the Twins have gotten this year. He's, I think, pitched 19 innings the past two seasons, and his starts aren't deep, alert the media. He'd go four, maybe five innings. The month of May, it must have been the month of June, he was really good. Went like at least four, went five a couple of times, earned run average was good. He's obviously come back. Here's Archer on his outing last night. The one thing I can say is it's unacceptable, and I've got to be better.
Wow.
There was one of the dongs that he gave up. It was a terrible pitch. So from my viewpoint, he did what he was supposed to do. It was kind of like that the whole game. I didn't have the greatest feel for anything, really. In 5 days, I'm going to be significantly better. I can tell you that.
I like it.
Which is also what Pelf would do.
Yes.
Pelf would say, I'm better than that. To which Dan would say, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
But we appreciate the accountability. But the one thing I can say is it's unacceptable, and I've got to be better. Quarter Pelf, half Pelf, three quarters Pelf, or full Pelf?
I would almost say that's three quarter Pelf.
Oh, I disagree.
You think full Pelf?
I think if that's not a full Pelf, what is?
Okay.
Else could he do? What else could he possibly do to hold himself accountable for that outing?
I don't think he ripped himself enough. Like, he said it wasn't good enough. I guess he did say it was bad.
Unacceptable. I've got to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, you want him to retire? I mean, that's the only thing. Retiring, I think, is the only thing he could do on top of that.
Yeah, that's a full Pelf. I think you've convinced me.
On the home run, it was a terrible pitch. So from my viewpoint, he did what he was supposed to do. It's in the ballpark. Whatever you think is more than a half Pelf, it's approaching a full Pelf. I think it's a slam dunk full Pelf. And again, what makes it to me the best Pelf is that he talks about how he's going to be better, which we have no idea.
Right.
Which is another thing that Pelf would do.
So maybe we'll just have to call it going arch now instead of Pelf. I don't know.
Good question. We'll change it. Yeah. It's
a full arch. We'll figure that out. Let's talk some NFL training camp. It's well underway this week. And some news around the league. Tampa Bay Buccaneers Pro Bowl center Ryan Jensen was carted off the field during today's practice with a left knee injury. Coach Todd Bowles said, all I know is that he went down with a knee.
Ugh.
We'll see where it goes from here. Jensen's going to go undergo some testing to see how severe that injury is. But the injury happened during a team period and resulted in the entire team gathering around Jensen, who's been a fixture of the Bucs' offensive lines for five seasons. The mood immediately turned somber. Mike Garofalo recently tweeted that they do fear that it is a season-ending injury, that it is a severe leg injury, and that to keep an eye on free agent J.C. Tretter,
who was
sort of rumored to come to the Minnesota Vikings at some point.
PA thought he was signed. PA came in off of his vacation and said, we signed him, right? Norda said no. He said, wow, I thought we did.
Yeah, would have been nice.
Yeah, that's been a big steam. But that is... We're going to play the truth about training camp next segment. I've got the ugly truth about training camp that I think some people know, but some people might not. But truthfully, the big news out of training camp, it is like, okay, who's the second starter? Who's the safety starter next to Harrison Smith, right? Who's the third wide receiver, fourth wide receiver? What's the offensive line going to be? Like, there's things that you figure out, but you figure a lot of that out as the games go, the preseason games. The first couple weeks of training camp, the only news is that everybody stay healthy. That's literally it. And that's one of the reasons why training camp isn't what it once was in terms of the physicality of it, because the season is long enough. It becomes a war of attrition. Injuries are a part of football. And that's really the main, you want to get through camp healthy. And that's why the starters only play a couple of snaps in most preseason games. Like, you don't need to burn them out on August 14th in the desert in Las Vegas, with Zach Halverson asking if he can help and Abbott saying no, which is one of my favorite conversations of the last month. you need any help in the booth in the Vegas game? And Abbott just said, no.
How fast did it take
simple
him?
Simple answer, just nope.
The fastest no of all time?
It was. It definitely was. But that's the news out of training camp. Because those are where their season, I mean, we saw it 5 or 6 years ago with Teddy. We were at the state fair. And we were starting to get rumors of something bad happened at Winter Park. And Teddy went down. And we don't know what it is. And the players were crying, sounded serious. And you're like, well, that changes everything. I mean, like you say, they're going to have to sign somebody. It's a fixture on their offensive line. That's the news that you watch for in training camp. The rest of the stuff we just make up, like, is Kirk Cousins mad about Kwesi's comments?
We'll hear about that here in a second. Different quarterback in the league, Derek Carr for the Las Vegas Raiders, got into a little bit of a press conference exchange with ESPN reporter Paul Gutierrez today. He was addressing a comment that Derek Carr had made previously that, quote, nobody thinks anything of us. So here's the exchange. Listen to this exchange between Derek Carr and a reporter named Paul Gutierrez from ESPN.
I said it in like this tone, and now it's been taken to this.
I saw the full quote, so I know it was.
But you know how him and Paul like to do things, you know what I mean? They be doing crazy stuff. Nobody, expectation, who cares? Like, nobody cares, you know? Like, at the end of the day, they could say, you got all these, that crap don't matter. You know, we have to go play the football games. You know what I'm saying? And that's honestly how I feel. I just got to be more honest. I just got to start speaking my mind. And as I'm getting older, I just say what I want to say, you know. And so my real answer is the expectation, all that kind of stuff. Who says that? Honestly, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Whether they don't say anything or they say a lot, nobody cares. Hopefully they talk about us at the end. You know what I mean? Like, but right now, that crap don't matter.
It doesn't matter, Derek. Why do you talk about it? Why do you?
Thank you, Paul. It's so good to see you. I say it because I'm a positive person, and it's I try and encourage my teammates. There's a way that I say things to encourage my locker room, to maybe put a chip on their shoulder, and sometimes I do it too much, and so I don't appreciate your tone either. You can pump that back a little bit.
Ooh.
How about that?
Back a little bit.
Yeah, no more Mr. Nice Guy for Derek Carr.
Well, he's got Devontae Adams now, right?
Yeah, Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer.
He can flex a little bit now. He's got a good wide receiver he can throw to. Vegas was plucky last year.
They missed the playoffs by one game, right?
So they're plucky. They're trendy. I like that. Hey, that was respectful. That was healthy. That was good. The voice didn't get raised. Nobody swore at each other. That, I think, is good for people.
Agreed. 100%.
It beats the blandness of what we usually get. More on that next segment.
Let's talk about Kirk Cousins addressing what Kwesi Adofo-Mensah mentioned in the USA Today. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but Kwesi maybe got a little loose-lipped with a reporter in his office saying that Kirk Cousins ain't Aaron Rodgers, he ain't Patrick Mahomes, but he's still a good player. But here was Kirk asked about that earlier.
There was some quotes in USA Today from Kwesi related to how he decided to go ahead and keep you, and wondering that. After talking to him, do you have any reason to doubt their commitment to you, short term or long term? Did you have any reaction to those quotes at all?
I haven't given it much thought, you know, with training camp being so busy and consuming so much of our time. So I'm not too concerned about it.
7 seconds. That was 23 minutes. What Kirk really wanted to say was this.
And with that, I need to go. I do appreciate your call, though. Thank you so much.
And again, this is one of those training camp deals. Is it the end of the world? No. But he's clearly bothered by it. He's got plenty of time to think about it. I'm sure he's thought about it. I'm sure he heard about it and said, well, that's not a glowing endorsement. By the way, Kwesi's not wrong. We talked about it in the second segment of the show. But I'll say what Derek Carr says. At the end of the day, that stuff probably doesn't matter. But it's just kind of one of those needless fires that have to be put out probably. I'm sure they've had to talk about that. I'm sure in the open, honest, collaborative, new TCO, or from what I've heard, they've removed all the doors in the building. There's no more doors anymore. Everybody has an open door policy. They took all the doors out. They're trying to knock down walls. It's open concept. The cubes are all different, like, because there's no more walls. Everybody's the same. It's horizontal leadership, or maybe vertical. I'm not sure which one it's supposed to be.
It's intentional, though.
It's what it is. It's intentional. And any decision that they make is going to be an informed decision. If it's a mistake, it's going to be an informed mistake. But it's one of those things where I'm sure they had to talk about it. And he's like, hey, we're good. We're still paying you $40 million. Like, your checks are still going to cash. Like, we did, you know. And by the way, as I said at the top, Kwesi's not wrong. Like, he's telling the truth. Doesn't mean he's ripping Cousins. But it just seems like it was kind of unnecessary. And as he even walked back, like, My wife says I talk too much. I should probably watch that. And I'm guessing he will as a young general manager. Most of them have mastered the art of saying nothing. Like the last guy that we had, Rick Spielman. Talking a lot, very nice about it, giving you nothing. Kwesi will probably learn that too. But Cousins, you can tell, is mad. Cousins talks about everything. Everything. And didn't have time for that.
That was his shortest answer in the history of answers.
Ever. You like that took longer than that answer.
His shove of Mike Zimmer took longer than that.
Exactly.
Kirk also talked about Justin Jefferson, who made a little bit of news and a little bit of a narrative that he's created, that he is set out to become the best wide receiver in the NFL. Says he doesn't care about the money, he just wants to be the best. And Kirk was asked on how he can help Justin Jefferson become just that.
Well, I think what I've always challenged him with is you don't have to do anything differently. You don't have to change. You don't have to take another step, if you will. The challenge will be to do it again and again and again. And I've said that here before. And if it was easy to do, more players would do it. You see a lot of people in this league go to a Pro Bowl, have some success, and then you ask the question, what happened to them? And so I've been challenging him to make sure that question is never asked about you, Justin. And I don't see any reason why it would, but that will always be the challenge, is to make sure that 10 years from now, we're still talking about how Justin Jefferson is an unbelievable player in this league. And so that's what he's working towards.
That was like a 30-second answer.
See?
That was four times as long.
He's been thinking about that one.
Yeah, apparently he's had time to think. In training camp, he's had time to think about it. Now, I remember him saying that going back to last season as well. He's right. I don't think we're in any danger, especially with the Vikings offense, how they want to run things and how, you know, the trendy thing. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You might have been here. Might have been the Cake Show. I can't remember. That is Justin Jefferson going to be Cooper Kupp? Like, I don't know. Maybe. But what I know is they're going to find ways to feature him. They're going to find ways to get him in advantageous situations. And one of the stories I read, I think it was The Ringer, kind of made that comparison with Kupp and Jefferson, and can they do that? And it wasn't so much about, you know, what they're running or where they're putting him, but it's finding, doing other things around him to get him in the right matchup and getting him to be able to catch it on the run, getting him to catch it on the right guy. And it seemed like a lot of times the Vikings, as the story pointed out, they would run basically two receivers out and there'd be four secondary members there. And then it's basically like, can Justin make a play? He can. But I like my chances a lot better if you've actually kind of like thought about a matchup ahead of time and said, we're going to get JJ this way. We're going to get Thielen this way. We're going to get Irv Smith here. Maybe we've got Dalvin out of the backfield. Maybe we've got KJ Osborne, who I think is good. Maybe Olabisi Johnson makes good on the promises of camp a couple of years ago. And we thought he was going to be the number two wide receiver before we knew about Justin Jefferson. That's what I'm excited about with this offense, is that I think we've got a guy, to use Pete Bursich's vernacular, a sophisticated offense. I think we've got that now in terms of getting the right people in the right place and maximizing what they can do. Whether that looks like Cooper Kupp or not, I don't know. But that's, and I don't really care. I just know you've got, there were times where it was like Jefferson was gone for a quarter. You're like, where's JJ? We haven't heard from him. Then he catches three balls for 82 yards and a touchdown, and the Vikings are up by 10. You're like, oh, there he is. Like, I don't think that's going to happen anymore, where he just disappears because of what we're running.
Yeah, we mentioned the PELF scale at the front end of the top five at five, but given that it is our final Todd Tuesday on a Thursday top five at five edition,
yeah,
the Todd scale, I would say, also exists, and you never really want to go full Todd,
right?
Which is exactly what Russell Wilson tends to do over and over and over again, including in this answer that he gave earlier in the press conference today.
I think, first of all, I think that, you know, for me, I've always been about, you know, the extra work. You know, if somebody says, you got to do, you know, X amount, I triple it.
That's all it is. It's short and sweet, but that is full Todd mode right there.
Was he wearing his own jersey again today walking into training camp?
God, he is just
ready to go?
Something else.
That is it. He's just, there's something odd about that young man.
I couldn't agree with Ben Lieber more every time I hear him ranting about Russell Wilson.
It's one of my favorite bits, is every time he does anything, everybody tells Lieber about it.
I am with him. I'm the biggest cheerleader he has.
Well, you went really deep in the top five. You really milked it.
Yeah, we're almost out of time.
We've blown by the break time. We're behind schedule now, but it's your final top five, so I wasn't going to let anything get in the way of that.
Had to go the distance today.
Nicely done. You got a grand in your hand?
Let's do that. The Fan and Hilltop Camper and RV are trying to put a grand in your hand. It's our national cash contest. Head to KFAN.com right now. Enter the keyword credit. credit at KFAN.com for your shot to put a grand in your hand.
I mentioned a couple of times the truth about training camp. We will be back there tomorrow. Common was there today. The news of the day. What is the news of the day? What's the truth about the news of the day? We're going to reveal it when we come back.
Fan.
Bumper to bumper. Dan will be back tomorrow. We'll be at U.S. Bank Stadium for Vikings practice. Guardsy here. Ryan Donaldson here as well. It's his final day on Bumper to Bumper. Bradshaw and Brian Inbox, booth at KFAN.com. James from Fancato. Want to let everybody know, Ryan, you will be missed. The Brett Michaels Carly bit was one of the best ever. Hope you do well in your new endeavors and look forward to hearing you back in a month or so. Seriously, thank you for all the fun, James and Fancato. Brett Michaels was probably, I'm going to ask you later for some of your highlights, so write those down.
Sure.
But that was, it's going to be hard to top fooling Carly and Carly Zucker into thinking that you were Brett Michaels coming to town, right, for a show.
Yeah.
And maybe you were they were going to meet up or something like that.
So it was actually at the start of the pandemic. I'll keep this short. But so Twin Cities Summer Jam was like, you know, everything was getting canceled. So I'm pretty sure my show was also going to get canceled. But
the Brett Michaels show?
Yeah. So it was, you know, next time, you know, I come into town, you'll come up on stage and sing. You know, whatever, every rose has its thorn with me. And she was devastated when she found out it was me.
Yeah. Not happy about it.
No, I still feel
bad. How did that happen, by the way? How did you turn it and let her know, let her in on the bit?
Hockey basically was like, do you have anything else that you'd want to tell her after she accepted my invite to go sing with me up on stage?
And yeah.
It was
like full on hands to the face. Like, I can't believe this is my life. Like, she was so happy.
Yeah.
She couldn't believe it, and then the rug was just ripped out from
under
her.
And I had to be like, hey, Carly, this is actually promotions director Ryan Donaldson, and that was the end of it. Oh, man. Yeah, I still feel guilty, but that's one of the highlights. There's no doubt about that.
But as Josh Broughton has taught us, the bit is greater than anything else.
Correct.
Everything exists for the bit. Yep. Our lives exist for the bit, and that was the bit that day. You had to do the bit. I appreciate you on your birthday and your last day here, at least on Bumper to Bumper, going out to Vikings training camp today. The Vikings continued practice. It was day two. Kirk Cousins talked. We played some of that sound earlier. Kevin O'Connell joined Dan yesterday. You should podcast it. Barrero channel of your iHeartRadio app or Vikings On Demand. But we want to try to cover all angles of training camp this year. Barrero and I are going to be at U.S. Bank Stadium tomorrow. But there were some other members of the Vikings besides Cousins that met the media today. And Ryan, winning all those scrums, you went back to your intern days, right?
Basically. Yeah, it felt like the old days for sure.
And I thought you did a good job of compiling the right cuts and the right sound that really gave people a good flavor of what's going on at TCO. So before Mike Grimm, the voice of the Gophers, joins us next segment, fresh off of a nightmarish trip from Indy, wanted to give you some of the sights and sounds from camp today, as we are your home for the Vikings.
Yeah, you know, it's just good to be back, you know, back with the guys. And, you know, I don't like to look ahead too much, you know, just kind of take it one day at a time, one practice at a time. Journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, and that step starts here today. Feel good, honestly. I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life. Yeah, we got a great group of guys. Love the guys in this locker room. Think we have a chance to do something really special. Yeah, man, I think the goal should be to be the best offense in the league. But the guys we have in this locker room, you know, and that's the ball, the playmakers we have, you know, come together, focus, and do our jobs. didn't have too much time to watch any of that. No, I was, you know, focused on watching film and preparing for this year, you know, when I wasn't changing diapers. So, yeah, you know, coach is great. We had a lot of good conversations. Been talking all off season, just kind of aligning goals and getting on the same page, and excited to work with them. Those guys over there, I mean, I hate going against them every day. So, but, glad they're on my side come game day. Yeah, you know, it's just good to see all the fans back out here. You know, we love them, and I know they're excited to be out here, and we're excited to see them again out here as well. Yeah, you know, it's just good getting out there during the summer with the guys on the course and being able to compete, you know, keep those competitive juices flowing. And I'm definitely the best golfer on the team. He may outdrive me, but his short game. We're just taking it one snap at a time. Yeah, we're just taking it one practice at a time, right? Starts today. Yeah, I mean, coach always tells us, you know, just one snap, one play at a time. You know, a lot of the young guys, you know, maybe easy to look ahead, but, you know, they'll figure out we're just, you know, one snap, one play, you know, one series at a time.
Last one.
Just really excited about this group, really excited about what we have here in this locker room, and just looking forward to taking it one play at a time this year. All right. Good to see you guys again. All right.
if that doesn't prepare you for Viking season,
I am the fan.
They see me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty, 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 trying to catch me riding dirty. My music's so loud, I'm swinging, they hoping that they gon' catch me riding dirty, trying to catch me riding dirty, trying to catch me riding dirty.
Last day on Bumper to Bumper, Garzy in for Dan today. He'll be back tomorrow as we're at U.S. Bank Stadium for Vikings practice. Voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm, joins me now in studio. I was with him in Indianapolis for Big Ten Football Media Day. We did the PJ Fleck Show from Lucas Oil Stadium. Did a bunch of other stuff. I left on Tuesday night, the 7:25 flight from Indy to MSP.
That you did.
With Ryan Burns, GopherIllustrated.com. We left without incident. You stayed to have another nice meal in Indianapolis and take in day two and just landed about 15 minutes ago.
I walked in my door last night or early this morning at 2:02 a.m.
Everybody is having trouble in the airs, in the skies. We know about the staffing issues. We know about people losing bags. I saw, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Delta basically sent over a 747 just to go grab bags. They had not gotten to where they needed to go. And all the airlines are doing that. Thankfully, knock on wood, our flight out there was perfect.
Yep.
Burnsy and my flight was perfect. I was home about 9 o'clock on Tuesday night. Everything was great, but kind of take us through the little bit that you told me. It wasn't just a matter of, well, the plane's not here or there's a mechanical issue.
No, we were right on time. It was great. We were actually a little early backing out of the gate. They did say when we sat down, they said, hey, some auxiliary power's not working, but that doesn't matter. It's not essential. It's just going to be hot. It's going to get warm on the aircraft until the jet engines really get fired up.
Interesting.
And then it'll cool down when we get up in the air.
I wonder why they even say that, because that would worry me. I'm not an anxious flyer, but once you start, hey, the auxiliary power is not working.
The power that cools, because they have to put those, you know, that you ever see that tube they stick up there?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what cools, apparently, the jet while we wait there, because the jet engines otherwise power, and they don't want to run the jet engines because fuel's like $75,000 a gallon.
It's true.
So they use, I suppose, electricity. Anyway, we're on. We're early. We start backing out of the gate, and they're trying to start the motors or whatever. And all of a sudden, this just really terrible smoke odor comes into the passenger cabin. Now, I didn't see smoke, and I've been talking to some others. We didn't ever see, like, smoke just billowing in anywhere.
Right.
But somehow the scent of smoke got in.
That's not what you want to see.
No, and
or
so
smell.
So the captain gets on, and he says, we've been notified that there's some smells like smoke back there. We don't have it up here, but we're going to get back into the game. We were only 50 feet from the gate. So it's just like, we're going to put her back into drive and
that's tough
and get back up there. And he's like, for now, we're just going to have everyone get off, leave your bags. We'll check it out and hopefully it's nothing. And we'll get back on and get out of here. So we get off the flight. I did break the rule a little. I grabbed my backpack thinking, hey, I can, you know, if it's going to be extended, I got a computer. I can do a little work here.
Sure.
I'm a working man.
Yeah.
And
a grinder.
So yeah. I had the backpack for sure. We got off. Sat there for a minute, and pretty soon they said, we still don't think it's anything serious, but obviously we're not going to send that plane up until we know. And then they brought some firemen and some fire trucks to check it out, and it looked worse, I'm sure, than it really was.
Yeah.
You know, there's like three fire, you know, the airport fire trucks.
What's that happening?
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not getting on that
so
plane.
There was, we were sitting out in the airport area at that point with this young family, probably 10-year-old girl and maybe a 7-year-old son, and they're the mom and dad, and they're trying to connect here to get to Missoula,
right?
No, Bozeman last night. So we were supposed to land here at like 8, whatever it was, I forget because the time changed.
Yep,
8:10 maybe.
Yep,
and they were going to take another flight onto Bozeman, Montana, and do some hiking and beautiful area. I'm told out there. Someday,
sure,
you and I should do a little hiking.
I can't think of anything better.
Yeah, what would be better than that? Who would have it better than us?
That's right.
And the girl, the 8, 10, 12-year-old girl is a little frazzled, you know, as you would be. She gets off the flight, we smell smoke, and she's, I think they said she had never flown, that they had never flown her
the kids hadn't. And then you see fire trucks. And so she was frazzled. So her parents were trying to calm her down. And we were too. We just mentioned a few things, whatever. Then they said, hey, look, it isn't looking good. We're not going to send this flight or this plane up. For those that are planning to go to Minneapolis and that's your end destination, like you're not going anywhere past that. You want to stay in Minneapolis, which would have been all of us.
Yep.
Amongst the Gopher media, because it was Daryl, Andy Greeter, Randy Johnson, Jim Rich,
Fox 9 guys.
I think that was it. But we were kind of hanging out, and then we befriended a few other Minnesotans there while we were waiting. That group was just going to stay until we can find another plane. For the people that needed to connect, you're screwed. So instead of you getting back at 1 a.m, we're going to send you to hotels here in Indy, and then you get out tomorrow. We'll try to get you, if it's through Minneapolis, fine. If it's somehow else, we'll get you to where you need to be. So these two people, a man and a woman, gate people, were just awesome. They're just firing off, you know.
Well, think about what a terrible situation they're in. That's why I always feel bad about.
And then people are, I'd say generally it was okay, but there were some rambunctious, nimwits who somehow thought that the world's,
rambunctious nimwits?
Yeah.
That's what we're going with?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I mean, it's 2022.
Yeah, well, people are wearing clothes that were in the 70s, so can I bring
Go ahead.
Good Lord.
Go ahead.
Can't even have a conversation with this guy. So these rambunctious nimwits are talking, and they're yelling. We had one guy throw a friggin' suitcase, which,
Not ideal.
Calm down, dude. Yeah. Stay off the steroids for a minute.
Wow. Whatever. You said you weren't going to talk about that guy.
No, that was all I was going to say.
Okay.
And he threw a suitcase like 12 feet. It landed on a bench, and everyone's like,
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then he calmed down, but he paced. Anyway, and then there were some people that right away they got off. And I'm sure these were the people having Connect, and they're already booking flights for the morning. And
right.
So between those and then these same two poor people working at the gate trying to get hotels, and they're on the phone and they're on the internet, and they finally get everybody.
But I'll say this. Hotel. I'll stop you here because Bernsey and I were on that same flight the night before. That was like one of three flights going out at that time of night,
yeah.
Right? There's no red eye going out of Indianapolis International.
It's a beautiful airport there, though.
It's fine. Man. It's great. Yeah, it's easy to get around, right? There's the two terminals. It's great. And that's why so much stuff goes in there. They've got a nice airport that they can do it, and you know about the town and all of that. But it's not like there's a plethora of people that are still on the clock. I mean, Delta's pretty much shut. Everybody, there's like three gates that are running at that point of the 50 that they might have.
Yeah, there were some arriving flights, but it didn't look like many people were waiting to get out.
Right. So they were stuck with it. These poor gate agents were stuck with trying to figure out the mess.
Just cranking it out, just trying to crank it out and get people booked. And generally it was fine. And then eventually, of course, they said, hey, we're going to go on like three or four at a time to go get your bags and bring them off the flight. So we did that. And there was another nice guy who was kind of in charge of, managing people in and out. And then the flight is dark. I mean, the plane is dark in there, right? So the flight attendants are on there with their cell phone flashlights taking people back to where they're supposed to be so they could shine up to see what row it was. Yep. And then we're in and out. So that was fine. We get off. And then they said, hey, we're flying an empty jet. I believe it was an empty jet because I don't think anyone was coming in from Minneapolis.
Right.
And the problem was the crew that was supposed to be our thing had started, that clock had started ticking way back at whatever, 5 o'clock, I guess. And so they timed out. So now we had the plane, and now they're like, okay, we need a flight crew. I don't know about the pilots, but at least flight attendants, right? I mean, obviously we need a pilot, but I don't know if they were the same pilot still scheduled
or if they
get off the clock or whatever.
Yep.
And so luckily a flight came in from Salt Lake City, and the flight attendants bounced over to our flight, and I think we took air at like 12:45 a.m. Indiana time.
Right.
Landed at like 1, maybe 20.
And nothing at the airport is open at that point, I would imagine, right?
Because
I'm thinking about the food situation. I'm thinking about the drink situation more aptly.
So, we got the
beef jerky from the Big Ten.
I saw that. Jim Rich, he offered that up, and so we scarfed that down. And then Daryl had a bag of Mike and Ike's or Ike and Mike's?
That's healthy.
So we,
that'll get you through a couple of hours.
It was natural fruit flavor. So we said, that's fine. And then we're just sitting there. And of course, my backpack absolutely stayed. I said, I'm going to take it out and do some work.
And you didn't do a damn thing.
The zipper never moved on the backpack, which is fine, whatever. Kevin Faulness, our good friend, filled in for me today, this morning on my other, my Minnesota News Network work. And he said that it was, he would do it, but he was a little, he's been working
countless hours on practicing initials to beat your ass. And I predict he will.
Well, you know, our initials is Friday, August 12th.
Mm-hmm.
We have a gold medal winner. We have a former NFL player. We have a two-time state champion. And we have Kevin Faulness.
Faulness will probably pull the stunning upset.
That's the lineup.
It'd be the miracle.
That's the lineup. Tyler George, Ron Johnson,
the
me.
The miracle in the 651 Carpet Studio.
And Kevin
is what it will be.
Faulness. Well, I'm glad you made it back. I'm sorry for your journey.
So we land. And then I'm like, you're worried. I got dropped off. My wife dropped me off because, you know, trying to save the company a couple of days of parking. So now it's 1:25 in the morning.
Where are the cars?
Click on the Uber. Luckily, bang, there's some around there, and clicked on it because I didn't want others to steal the four available drivers. So I didn't have to wait for baggage. So I clicked on it, and it timed beautifully. As I walked out the door, the Nissan Rogue was driving up. I hopped in, walked through my door at 2:02.
It's the glitz and glamour. I tweeted out a photo or an Instagram video last night at Vikings training camp. After Kevin O'Connell left and Ben Gessling left, it's Dan and me and nothing.
Nobody.
And we're there for 90 minutes, and there's the glitz and the glamour, and here we are on the practice fields, and not a soul in the world, just Dan and me. It's the glamour of our jobs.
Yeah, it was fine, too, because, I mean, any time you get to hang out with guys like Darrell Thompson and Andy Greeter and others, and
it's true.
Jim Rich, and Jim Rich had a poker game, or I'm sorry, a cribbage game going with a lady who sells auto parts for Menards. I mean, it was great, you know, and pretty soon it was just kind of a fun little club we had going there.
John to the Bradshaw and Bryan inbox booth at KFAN.com. Bozeman is indeed a beautiful place. Just wait until Montana State is added to the Big Ten so Mike and you can go explore Bozeman while on a Gopher road trip. We're going to keep that thread for the second segment with Grimmer. Talk about the Big Ten football media days, including has Kevin Warren found his footing? And what's next for the Big Ten? What did we learn while we were there in terms of the future of the conference? We'll also get some just random thoughts from all the players and all the coaches. You heard the soundbite I played about 15 minutes ago regarding NFL training camp. I won't lie to you. It ain't much different in Indy. But
it was 100%. You could have said that was from Indy. We'd have believed it.
Kevin Warren did have a few things that I wanted to follow up on. And has he found his swerve a little bit and his rhythm as commissioner? Voice of the Gophers back from Indy. Mike Grimm joins for
second. Radio station.
Cake Show Edition, Guardsy and Donaldson here until 6:30. Voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm in studio, having made it back after a harrowing journey from Big Ten football media days and the Indianapolis airport meltdown. He is back in studio. I mentioned it before the break. My sense from Big Ten football media days, we'll talk about the Gopher stuff in a minute, but after the 40-minute Kevin Warren opening statement from his press conference, which went on forever, he had 45 minutes to talk. I think he got like four or five questions after he was done. That's how Kevin Warren rolls. But it seems like for a guy who was pretty heavily criticized the first couple of years, he seems to have found his footing a little bit. A lot of the stories are being written about Kevin Warren's redemption. And Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, I thought, wrote a good one. And Warren said, you know, I know a lot of people were saying about me. I'm paraphrasing. He said,
yeah.
But the fact that I didn't know anybody, I think Ryan Day said he came into a situation not really knowing anybody. And then the pandemic hit. He was in the middle of his big commissioner tour to go meet everybody. And the pandemic wiped it all out. So he's got to make all these decisions without knowing anybody, having no history with basically anybody. And Day said, that's a pretty tough situation, but it seems like he's found his footing. And Warren even said, I think the pandemic and not knowing anybody gave me time to think about what was next. And what was next was a pretty seismic move for the Big Ten. So it seems like Warren has found his footing a little bit in the commissioner's office.
Well, and we knew about him here, what an impressive guy he was with his time at the Vikings. And, you know, PA would have him on. What were they, the Monday, whatever?
Warren's Wednesday
was it? And those were amazing.
Great. You know? I agree.
And so we knew that the guy's not dumb. Even though some people thought, geez, this guy's bungling this. Well, there's no handbook for on a pandemic,
pandemic
that potentially might kill people. You know,
you're right.
I mean, it did kill people, but I'm talking about like football
players,
you know,
yes.
or what have you. Obviously, it killed people, but I'm saying like he also had to worry about what happens if we allow him to play and eight players die
yeah.
in my first year. So
yeah.
we have to be careful. And then as they got, you know, as they got more research, and then the SEC said we're playing. You know, then it was like, let's
then
play.
Then it was on.
And they
yeah.
got, and they got some games in, and it wasn't perfect, but it was what it was. And navigating through what he's now navigating through with the media rights deal, which was part, I think, of why they chose him. I also think part of why they chose him was because there is benefit to his NFL background, because I think it's clear college football is headed toward an NFL model of a national
yep.
kind of a look with conferences that, you know, will be power conferences. And so all of that fits. Where the road eventually winds and takes us, who knows? But clearly he's going to be in a position of power to navigate and make an impact on wherever it goes. And I also think there are some powerful ADs in the Big Ten
yeah.
who are helping him in an immense way as well.
And
who
Barry
have been
Alvarez,
around the block.
Probably.
And Barry Alvarez as well.
Who's yeah. kind of his football liaison. I like this from Rittenberg's ESPN piece that I think kind of tells you, like, he ain't here to make friends, mm-hmm. and he is here to look out for the Big Ten. He wrote about the alliance because a year ago, and I remember, I'm sure I talked about it with you. I talked about it with Chip Scoggins and Ryan Burns on Parent a Spare. The Big Ten, as kind of a response to the move for Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, the Big Ten formed that alliance with the Pac-12
yeah.
and the ACC. And I remember thinking, that seems weird because the Big Ten doesn't need those two
mm-hmm.
as it sits right now. Pac-12 certainly did. I think ACC certainly did. And they have their own thing with Notre Dame, which we can talk about. But I said, why are they're getting more out of it than the Big Ten is getting out of it? Well, now that's completely blown up, as we know. As Rittenberg writes, the USC and UCLA exits have essentially ended the often mocked alliance, which had many wondering why the Big Ten ever entered, me included. Warren's relationship with his Pac-12 counterpart, meanwhile, has been strained. But Warren made it clear he's focused on his league and its future. And here's the quote from Warren that I liked that I think is like, yeah, I'm not here for your feelings. Says, this is similar to business. If a conference is allegedly on the brink, there are many more issues than members leaving. There are deeper issues. I'm not promoting conferences facing a crisis or going out of business. Not at all. But I come out of the NFL for 21 years. In the NFL, you either succeed or you fail. That's not only on the field. I'm talking about in business, operationally, either you have your fan base
yeah.
or you don't. And I think that's pretty powerful. That's
and you and I talked, you brought it to my attention, the quote where he's like, when he was growing up, you'd get the catalog from Sears Roebuck. We would get it in my
I wanted to
house
get to that, yep.
in from JCPenney's, but whoever. And I'd order my Dallas Cowboys pajamas or whatever for Christmas. And then you'd get it mailed to you and your mom would wrap it and you'd get it for Christmas. Now there are still catalogs. I didn't know this, but I have a friend who actually part of his job is he answers phones to
really
to take catalog orders.
Wow.
But there aren't this, you know, I mean, Sears Roebuck, J.C. Penney's, I don't even think, are they even around? Montgomery Ward's, I think, is gone. I don't
yeah.
know. Anyway,
the point remains,
if you're a catalog business and you don't switch, you're done. And so if you're in the business of college athletics and you don't change with the times, with the changing media needs and the changing, landscape, you're going to be out. And the Big Ten has some, and the SEC both have innate advantages over the rest in terms of
yep.
alums, TV markets, interest, all kinds of stuff, stadiums, tradition. It's not to say that those other leagues don't, but they can't bring to the table what those two leagues can.
The phrase you talked about to catch people up on it, and I brought it up on with Dan yesterday while we were at camp, that I thought it was the typical Kevin Warren walk in that he went around for a while telling the story, but the point was effective. And he said, like you said, when I was a kid, I ordered Sears and Roebuck from the catalog. And he said, the catalogs no longer exist and Sears and Roebuck no longer exist. I don't want us to be the Sears and Roebuck. And that I think is, and we've seen that already. I think a lot of it too was about, most people took out of that because he kept saying we want to reach everybody from 5 to 105. A lot of people think a big part of the Big Ten new media deal is going to be a major streaming component.
Yeah. I don't think this one will be major.
I bet it'll be bigger than what you think. I mean, I bet it'll be a big part of it. I mean, Amazon's already got an NFL package. There's no reason why it's, you know, they've got the Thursday night deal. I'm not saying it's going to be 10 games a week, but I'm guessing there's going to be some type of presence where the games
eventually
are going to be streamed.
Yeah, I agree.
But I like the fact that he's obviously, because I think one of the problems with college sports sometimes is as much as we love the traditions and how we've always done things, you get kind of, you're prisoner to that. And Warren clearly does not care.
Yeah.
And I think that's good.
It's a fine line, though, because, I mean, you talk to them. I talk to fans that, like, you know, it's teetering on some people being so turned off by the business part of it that they're going to stop going to Camp Randall.
Maybe.
They're going to stop going to Kinnick.
But will they stop watching?
Well, maybe.
I don't know.
And the question then is, if they stop, will you then in turn create new fans? It's even like baseball. I mean, the grand scheme of things, people are always, you know, we talked about this before. Oh, baseball's dying. You know, young kids don't like it. Well, as people get older, their tastes change. And all of a sudden, you're 60 and you're going to watch baseball. And so that's a viewer. Maybe when you were 24, you didn't watch baseball. I think college athletics has to be careful. And look, the days of the catalog are over. While you and me and people older than us yearn, just the great memories of thumbing through the catalog and tearing out a page or circling the number so you could go back.
I bet they've got an Amazon Prime account, though.
That's it. So in college athletics, things are going to change, and it stinks because you lose some of that. But at some point, because I will say this, I think U.S. Bank Stadium and the Vikings atmosphere is amazing. It really is. But it isn't college either. It doesn't mean one's better or not, but there also is just this business-like, even the game itself is just so methodical, and the substitution packages and how they get in, and it's timed out to the second with everything. College athletics is imperfect in some of those cases.
Yeah.
Coaches have to take a timeout because the freshman, you know, linebacker didn't know that was a subset he was supposed to be in. That never happens in the NFL, ever, right? So there are certain things. If you get too much like the NFL, you're going to turn off some people. So I do think it's a fine line. I think he's smart. I think they're going to make a lot of money. Eventually, we're going to have to come to the realization that it's going to be a changing landscape, and you want to continue to create fans. And you see student sections, you know, it's hit and miss depending on where it's at. Some are very full. Some, you know, the Gophers have actually had really – probably in our time, as good as they've had here in the last year or two. But
yes,
we've been to some other places that traditionally have had great student sections that haven't been that great in recent years. So what does that mean? I don't know. But it's going to be a fascinating thing. I mean, you're looking at Notre Dame. I mean, this thing could come quick, or it could be 8 years from now.
Yeah,
probably won't, but it's going to be a fascinating viewing just to watch that. I'm fascinated by it, just to see how the track everybody takes.
Well, I've always said – I really got into the Wolves season this last year. I love taking my kid, and I love going to the games, and I like the whole vibe around the deal. But I've always been more fascinated by the summer in the NBA to figure out where the stars are going to go. And then it would start. I like wouldn't really even watch it.
Yeah.
But I spent all summer listening to every podcast I can, figuring out where LeBron was going to go and what was going to happen with Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook and all these guys. So I'm with you that I'm very curious to see how it all plays out here in the next couple of years. And if it ever settles, you know, because PJ talked a lot this week about whether it was NIL or transfer portal or whatever. He says the waves are all going right now and none of the sand is settled. So for any of us to have these declarations about NIL or this or that, and Ferentz said something similar, like we don't know what it's going to look like 5 years from now. And that's something I've tried to caution people on is
we don't
let's see what it looks like in 5 years when we actually have, because right now it is insane, it's crazy, and everybody's just trying to hold on to this thing somehow. But I can't wait to see where it goes next, because I think a lot of these dominoes have been fascinating.
And it's right now you have to create content, so there's power in numbers. Like I would say, so it's, let's say it eventually gets in the next couple of years to a 20 team Big Ten,
right?
Like, I would, in my mind, logically say, well, why does it have to, why can't that just be two 10-team leagues in their own region? Because you can't create the revenue you can if they're all together.
Right. You need everybody.
And so you need everybody. And eventually, maybe that will fracture again. And in 30 years, it's like, you know what? The people of the South really don't care if USC comes to town. They want Tennessee at their stadium.
Right.
Old Miss does not give a rat's behind about Oregon. You know, we want Florida to be here, you know? And so it'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting to see how it all unfolds.
Voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm in studio for a few more minutes. Guardian for Barrera. We say goodbye to Doc Donaldson on the Afternoon Drive show next segment. He's been tasked to pare down basically his favorite moments from his 13 years at the Fan. And I'm going to try to make him cry. I said at the beginning of the show, I'm going to try to make him cry. And we'll see if I can succeed in that. I've got a couple of aces up my sleeve.
Do you have an over-under on when he's back? Like
people have said about a month.
The month?
Yeah, everybody thinks I'm going the AJ route.
Well, here's one of the things I was going to tell him. Spoiler, I'll just say it now, is that I don't think we're equipped for outside work. I don't think the people that work in this building, certainly for the fan, I don't think we're equipped to go work in regular jobs. I don't think we can do it. I don't think we can sit through the meetings, although in your job you've had to do the meetings.
Yeah.
I don't think there's something off about all of us that I don't think we would, I don't think it would be for us. We might be able to exist, but will we thrive, Mike? Will we thrive? I don't know. Will we live our best life? I don't know. So good luck to him. I mean, he's jumping out, no parachute, so we'll see. But that's my biggest concern about it. I think that's what AJ figured out. He took his job and said, oh boy, no, this is not for me.
Holy cow.
Yeah, this is not for me. So I don't know. I say that to a lot of people. Our office works, our station works. I don't know if us individually would work anywhere else outside the building.
Well, I mean, look at you, for example. Your show with Dan Barrera starts at 3.
Yep.
You get here about 2:53.
If I'm early.
If you're early.
Yeah.
It's just enough time to get your laptop set up.
Yep, get a cup of coffee.
And then you're done at 6:30 on the long days, 6 on a night when the Wilds start.
I'm calling you by 6:35.
On the drive home.
Yep.
And so you put in a 3-hour day.
Yeah.
I mean, Donaldson's got to work at minimum 40 hours a week now.
You would think. We'll see what type of flex schedule his next stop has.
I mean, Gardsey's been on a 16-hour-a-week program. That's why he has time for all the other jobs.
Yeah, he's got 9 jobs.
Well, it's because he works 12 hours here.
They're all part-time. Yeah, they're all part-time. That's the beauty of it. You can have 9 part-time jobs. You mentioned the word interesting about the future of the Big Ten and the future of college sports in general. We've known PJ a long time now. We've known a couple of the players as long.
Crazy.
4 of the players, and obviously Tanner and John Michael Schmitz were there representing with Tyler Newbin and Mariano Sorry-Marin. Was anything instructive? Did you take anything out of the Minnesota portion of the media day? We kind of know the questions, and we kind of have the answers to a lot of what this team might be, but what did you take from any of that?
Well, I mean, I think in essence, the two biggest notes are that Muhammad Ibrahim and Trey Potts are cleared. They'll start full practice on Monday.
Yep.
And then PJ said to us on the show that it's kind of counterintuitive, but with Mo especially, you'd think, oh, he's coming back from injury, ease him in. And he's like, no, we got to get him into a scrimmage and some tackling drills. You got to take some hits. He can't be out there against the Aggies of New Mexico State on opening night not having taken a hit for a year. So I think those were the two big things. Obviously, offensive line and defensive line, in the grand scheme of things, if they play well there, they're going to have a really good season. And then there's some question marks. Guys that are not young but don't have a lot of experience, I think they like the talent level. And then, you know, you had that quote, that mock-up of all those cuts from Vikings training camp earlier about it. It is that way, but I also think there's some legitimacy to it in the West when you think about it. From the team that won it last year all the way down to the team that finished last, and everyone says this, but I think it's legitimate. Every team, and it was the same last year, I remember saying the same thing, every team has an absolute legitimate argument with facts to back it up, we're going to be better this year. And that's going to make that division a pretty nice race, I think. The Gophers, they can be better than last year. They might not.
Right.
But there's great arguments to say why. Iowa won the division. If they get better quarterback play, they can absolutely be better than last year, right?
Yes.
Wisconsin hasn't won this thing in a couple of years now. They're clearly thinking they got to be better than last year.
And they were picked to win it.
And they were picked to win it this year.
.com poll.
And they lost a bunch of guys on defense, but every year they do that, we're all like, oh, well, they're going to take a step back, and they never do.
Yep.
Illinois, to me, like, people still want to rip that loss for the Gophers. The more I think about it, they won at Penn State.
Yep.
They beat Nebraska in the opener.
Yep.
They had those two clunky losses. They lost to like Texas San Antonio, which turned into a bowl team and a pretty good team.
Right.
And they got smoked by, who was it, Wisconsin, like 24-0 when the Badgers had started rolling there. They should have beaten Iowa probably the next week they played Minnesota. And then they hung 47 on
Northwestern,
the last game of the year.
Well, Bielema is a good coach.
I mean that's not going to be a picnic for anybody.
He's
that game.
He's a very goofy dude. I love that he's back in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
He had the quote about Daniel Falele resembling a van, which was just remarkable good Bielema stuff. Yeah. I love that he's back in the Big Ten.
And then Nebraska's got all these transfers, and can they create maybe a better environment around that team? They're going to have more talent. And I know every year everyone says, everyone picks Nebraska to be the team to break out, and they haven't for a while, but it could be that this is a year for that. And I forget who, Northwestern, if they get better quarterback play, I mean, they don't have nowhere to go but up, right? So am I missing a team? Purdue might be the favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, they've got the best
quarterback.
Schedule. They got the easiest schedule, the best quarterback, and they won 9 games last year.
Yeah.
Like, that was probably Minnesota on paper's best win.
A road win against Purdue.
Road win at Purdue. Think about that game in the rain. So Purdue could be, if someone said Purdue will win it, now they lose
Bell and Karlaftis.
And they lost the other receiver, Wright.
Yep.
Somehow in today's day and age, players can still flunk out of school. It's weird, but he apparently couldn't stay in school.
You're talking to a guy that's been to 5 colleges, yeah, so I take offense to that. But
you didn't have the support system.
I had some. Her name was Nancy Parker, and she was a very nice woman.
Well,
and
she failed you miserably.
No, I failed her.
You failed her.
That's whole other podcast.
But then they got Charlie Jones. Did you say that?
But they got 2 transfers from Iowa. Yeah, Tyrone Tracy, too, right?
So 2 receivers. And so anyway, I think it'll be a very fun year. Every team thinks they can be better, and I think there's legitimate reasons why they all can. Schedule is going to play a part. Iowa plays, I think, both Ohio State and Michigan.
Yep.
Wisconsin plays Michigan State and Michigan, or is it Ohio State? They play Ohio State and Michigan State.
Yep.
Minnesota plays neither Ohio State or Michigan, but they play at Michigan State and at Penn State.
Yes.
And then, you know, they got a couple of tricky ones, in there as well. And November is just going to be a hoot, right?
It should be.
To bring back a 1970.
I was going to say, good way to end it, right where you started it. Well, we're going to have a grim old guy bingo next time you come in.
Great. Yeah, a little bingo card.
Thanks for coming in, man. Good
always
to see you in Indy.
Good
to hang in
you.
Indy. I'm glad you made it back, and we'll be seeing
anytime
a lot of each other soon.
Anytime smell with Justin Guard is good time.
Hashtag blessed.
There you go.
We say bye to Doc Donaldson. Get some of his favorite memories. 13 years at the Fan. Get the tissues. Might be emotional. Grand in your hand?
Let's do it one more time. The Fan and Hilltop Camper and RV are trying to put a grand in your hand. It's our national cash contest. Head to KFAN.com right now. Enter the keyword bonus. Bonus right now. KFAN.com for your shot.
So I know you want more Vikings hot takes, or maybe Patrick Beverly hot takes, or Twins hot takes, but for the final 7 or 8 minutes, we're basically turning it over to Ryan Donaldson. When you work someplace 13 years, blood, sweat, tears, very little pay, very little fanfare. The floor is his, so people are going to have to deal with it. Ryan's been a lot to the station for a long time, and you're going to be on tomorrow, Program Password.
I will.
So you'll get a final send-off on the Common Man program.
And tune in for the emotional montage that Common had me put together.
I like how he made you put together your own montage.
I think he asked Tenna to do it. Tenna said, not going to work.
Yeah, but so. I'm basically asking you to do the same thing. All right, how are you feeling now? You're basically within 24 hours of your final day here, a place you've spent 13 years.
Yeah.
I've spent my whole professional working life here, as you have.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would feel. I would feel a lot of different things, but how are you feeling?
I mean, like I've said from the start, this is a bittersweet feeling for me. Like, I'm genuinely excited to see what challenges are next for me, what's next in my chapter professionally, personally. So part of me is very excited, but, I mean, I'm going to miss so many things about this place, especially the people that are here, from you to Meat Sauce to all my friends that I've made here at the Fan, Tenna B, Common, Rosie, everybody, Chad Abbott, AJ Mansoor, Zach Halverson. I could go down
Sound
the
like
list.
Bill Walton right
I don't want to leave people off either. But I mean, just the culture in this office. You mentioned it. It's going to be tough to adjust to a new work environment coming from a place like this when it's just a brotherhood here. And we get our jobs done, and we do a good job of doing that, but it's loosey-goosey. It's different. It's a different vibe, and I'm not going to be able to get that anywhere else.
What do you remember about when you came here in 2009?
I remember the first day that I came in for my interview. I was dressed in khakis and a button-down T-shirt, tucked in with a belt, looking like I'm here for a business job interview.
Me too. That's what I did back then. Yeah.
And
I remember interviewing you back in the game room, I think.
We met and talked by Mrs. Pac-Man. You came and you showed me around the studio. You're like, you're going to start on Monday. It was a Friday, and you came in. It was during 9 to noon. Chad Abbott was producing in this chair that I'm in right now. 9 to noon that morning, you introduced me to the program director. The first words out of his mouth was, "Dude, when do you start?"
Now.
So it was hit ground running there, and I'll never look back. I mean, then obviously you pouring the water over my head after I got hired off my internship. When, you and Chad
after
Abbott.
Like a 5-year internship,
yeah,
you got hired for not much more money than your internship,
right.
But it's been a long road. And I remember when he's told me, he said, we can finally hire Ryan. And then I said, let's go get him.
Yeah.
And you were in the score right over there. I remember pouring water on you too. What year would that have been?
That was probably 2010. Yes. You know,
so about it was a year. Only about a year?
Yeah, it was about a year. Looking back on all the bits, our Uncle Norv.
Yep.
That was one of my favorites. That was kind of you giving me a chance to, you know, do some of my impressions, some of the bits. And I don't know if people ever knew the identity of our Uncle Norv, but...
Better than your Regis Philbin.
It was me. I was our Uncle Norv. I loved that. I mean, the initials victory, my first time ever playing. The Bret Michaels moment, obviously we talked about that with Carly Zucker. I'm still sorry about that, Carly. Our auxiliary press box days, watching the Vikings games at the Dome, smoking heaters outside of Gate F together.
Drinking Mountain Dews and just banging heaters. You were telling me about your fantasy football team, and I'd say, I don't care.
You don't care.
Ryan, I don't care about your fan. How many weeks do I have to tell you this? I don't care who you're starting this week. I don't care.
Going to Winter Park with Purple Cheeses. It was just magical times back then. Power Trip Comedy Show is one of my favorite events I've ever been in charge of working and putting together, helping organize that whole thing. I still can't believe the turnout we had from that.
Yeah, that was crazy.
The Vegas shows with the Power Trip, always memorable there. I've had incredible experiences getting to go and travel to Las Vegas with the Power Trip morning show.
Are you sure you want to leave?
It's getting emotional.
You can still do all that. I mean, no one's kicking you out the door despite your tweets about the general manager.
And obviously, program password... Team Todd rising to the top.
Yep.
I mean, that is hard to top as far as memories go. It's one of those things that I will never forget.
And we're going to run it back.
100%.
Even though you don't know what your next job is going to be necessarily, you've already somehow gotten that time off to run it back with Team Todd. That's what I'm worried about.
I think at any job interview that I've got coming up,
bring your trophy.
I'm going to have to say I'm going to need some flexibility, you know, at some time in the months of May and June in 2023 and hopefully beyond that, because we're gonna run it back, we're gonna win it again, so that's gonna be one of the stipulations for sure. But just sitting in Abbott's office and just ripping with everybody, just ripping each other, ripping, laughing at everybody,
ripping each other, that's listening, the key.
Listening back, you know, Halverson, the sprinting across the Al Shaver press box. Yeah. Just laughing, just nonstop laughter. And then obviously, like, I've had this opportunity to work all these events in this role that I've been in, and the thing that I honestly will remember the most is the Rubes. Is we have the best listeners in the world.
Facts.
They care about us. They know us. They feel like, and I feel like, that we're all friends, and that's what I'm going to miss the most, and those people are the ones that keep us motivated to keep doing a good job here at the station.
How long do I have? About 90 seconds?
Yes, sir.
I'm probably going to need about 60 to talk about you and your 13 years. I don't think I'll need much more than that. Like Ryan said, this place is a family, and a family member is leaving. 13 years Ryan's been here. 13 years. Like we all did. You gave your youth to this place. That's our new joke right now.
Yeah.
We all gave our youth to this place, including Chad Abbott, including Greg Swedberg. We've all given our youth to this place, but we will be worse off because Ryan is leaving. We all felt better when Ryan was here. You know how much I liked work. You know how pissed I was at you in jest because I'm happy for you, whatever it is you're going to be doing. And it's because we're going to miss having you around. I felt better when you were here with me and with us, and it's not going to be the same. Hopefully we get to run it back for program password, and who knows? Maybe you'll be back one day.
I would love it.
Maybe we'll be back one day, but you're the best. 2009. Let's go have a Mountain Dew and bang some heaters and talk about Brett Favre.
Let's do it.
That would be good.
I'm in.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Keep the Ryan tributes coming because he's got one more day tomorrow. He can still screw something up between now and tomorrow, which is... One of the things we loved about Ryan is he screwed stuff up so fantastically.
Train wreck.
And then reveled in making fun of himself, which is why he survived 13 years. Thanks for Meat Sauce coming in for a final Todd Tuesday. Thanks to the voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm, for coming in. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Dan will be back tomorrow. We will be at US Bank Stadium for Vikings practice. Bye, everybody.